In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you all today. And today we're talking about a great topic. We're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist. That's right. Christ present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the most blessed sacrament of the altar. What are the fruits? What are the spiritual benefits of the Eucharist? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also email us, beacon@EW10.com. You can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Well, last night, my wife and I had a date night, and we went out to a place we haven't been to in a very long time. It's called Salty's on the Columbia. So it's a seafood restaurant right along the Columbia River. They gave us a seat by the window, gorgeous view of the Columbia River and the sunset. You know, you have the airport on one side, you have a beautiful sunset facing, going toward the Oregon coast, where the sun is setting on the other side. It was just a wonderful setting, for dinner. And we had great conversation, then one thing that happened was there was a couple sitting adjacent to us, and a younger couple. And at one point, the young lady screamed, and she got up out of her seat, ran to the other side of the table, jumped in the guy's lap, and started kissing him. And then I was like, oh, that's different. But then she kept looking at her hand, like, constantly. I'm like, oh, my goodness, they just got engaged. You know, just like, and so this guy had planned this whole thing out to propose to her at Salty's, during dinner. And it was beautiful. You know, a lot of people went and congratulated them, including myself. When my wife and I were leaving, they were still there. And so I got up and congratulated them and told them my wife and I just celebrated 30 years this year. And they said, oh, no way. That's awesome. And I told them about our trip across Canada. They were very, very nice. And, she was so happy. Oh, my goodness. She was so happy and she couldn't stop smiling. And she could, I mean, it was to give someone that kind of joy is such a blessing. It reminded me of when I proposed to my wife. And I thought I was slick, man. You know, I was planning this whole thing out, and I called her best friend, who was also obviously was in our wedding party. And I arranged with her husband to get the ring, so I had the ring custom made, the engagement ring. And then so I had her best friend come out from the East Coast, and she didn't know that her friend was coming. And so I got together with a friend, and we planned it all out, and I made a sign, a huge sign. I also talked to, I did it at her job. So I talked to her boss and told her what I was going to do. And so the big day is there. And so, she's working and I see her in there. And so Kathy walks in first. She goes, and she stands like, what are you doing here? And then I walked in behind, and I had a huge thing of flowers, and I waved and said, hello, everybody. And I walked up to her, and I held her hand so much I love her, and dropped to the knee, and everybody, the girls, ladies were crying. And then I asked her, she said yes, and oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. And then her boss unfurled the banner that I had made, congratulations, balloons and stuff, and it was awesome. And I still have that tie, by the way. I still have the tie 30 years later that I proposed to her. I rarely wear it. I used to wear it occasionally, but now it's showing the signs. It's eroding a little bit and all that kind of stuff. So I don't wear it that often. But but I still have it. Congratulations. I know this is a time where people are a lot of people are discerning marriage or the vocation to marriage, and so I just want to let you know that you're in our and that you're in my prayers, that you open your heart deeply to God's will, if that's what God wants you to do in that beautiful sacrament of matrimony. Man, I love doing this show, and one of the reasons is because we have a great team that you can't see but that I work with every day. That's Matt Gabinski screening the calls, Charles Berry doing social media, and our producer, there's not enough adjectives to describe how awesome he is.
The Ace pause McKay. Was enough of an adjective. The pause was great. I love it. I love reminiscing about those stories because my wife and I are getting ready to celebrate our fifth wedding anniversary. We actually have a date night scheduled tonight that actually just kind of came up spontaneously because when the kids are in rehearsal, we do have more time. It's just a matter of how we tend to use it if we've got other things going on. So I was like, let's get the date in because the weekend's full and the kids go into show mode next week. So let's go and ours is always like different places or try to find new places. But for me, it's all about surf and turf. Like I don't care where I go. Like I need a little seafood, a little steak, like a little chill. That's kind of my go to.
Yeah. That's what I had yesterday. Actually, I had the surf and turf. I had the New York strip and a lobster tail.
Perfect.
With it, yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome, and the food was great. One of the things we tried to do, which was hilarious, and we couldn't do it, was to remember every place where we celebrated our wedding anniversary for the last 30 years. And
did you get?
Oh, my. I think 10.
Okay.
Like 10 years in, and then we couldn't remember. But I think one of our anniversaries was at this place that we went to last night. But, it's awesome. And even though we were in the, obviously, 30 years, and we're in the, we're pushing 60, and I mentioned in previous shows, we're talking about all that life insurance and long-term care disability and all that kind of stuff. But it's been an incredible journey, and for me, what's the heart and the soul and the center of our relationship is Jesus Christ, right? Amen. The where every decision I make, even engagements that I take. I don't do it in a vacuum.
Yeah.
I check with Colleen and I pray about it and see if that's a place where God wants me or needs me to be.
Yeah.
And so every decision I make, flows from that relationship of intimacy with the heart of Jesus Christ, right? And unite my heart with his most sacred heart.
Yeah.
And the same thing in matrimony, right? I mean, there's that couple, their focus and their center of their relationship is Jesus. Now, sometimes you get distracted, right, sure, with kids and with issues that come up, communication, that kind of thing. But what couples should never forget, if they're people of faith, is that Jesus Christ is the center of their relationship. And as the Lord says, nothing is impossible with God.
Yeah. When you were at the restaurant and the couple was getting engaged, did you pass any nuggets or did you give a blessing or anything?
No, I mean, this is Portland, right? So I wasn't dressed as, obviously they couldn't tell I was a deacon or anything like that. And but no, they didn't ask for any advice. What they asked was what was my favorite place in Canada during the trip.
Hmm.
But I wished them the best. Although I did say at the end, the very, very end, that I was going to be praying for them. I did say that.
Perfect.
It's just wonderful to see that kind of joy and a young couple just starting out, and your daughter, right?
My daughter Lennon. Yeah,
engaged
she's engaged
now, right?
Right now. So we've been in the thick of that, and we're in the infancy of like what I thought was great was she sent me the video where they told his parents, and Thomas's dad got like really emotional. He's like, "I'm so excited for you guys," and then I got emotional because it hadn't really hit me yet. Like even though she told me, we had the talks, and Thomas and I had the talk. Like he asked for Lennon hand, at Thanksgiving last year, and so I knew it was coming, so I think I'd kind of already prepared my heart in some way, but I realized you raise your kids and you want them to pick someone that's great. And I've been praying for Thomas even before I knew Thomas was Thomas, right? There was no name attached before Rocky was Rocky with my daughter McCartney. And so now to have names to go with them and to see the fruits of those prayers and to see that these are the men that I've been praying for this whole time. So it's very exciting and excited for what they have that lies ahead.
That's key. Praying for your future spouse.
Yeah.
You know, incredible. I remember a guy I met in Singapore in an adoration chapel, young guy in his 20s. And I stopped him because he was like face planting in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
And I was asking him, he said he's praying for his future wife. And I'm like, yes, 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 yes. He gets it.
So cool.
All right. Well, we're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist today on Beacon of Truth. What are some of the spiritual fruits that the Eucharist has been in your life? Want to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN.
Some wedding music for those that are looking for like.
That's right.
What's our first dance gonna be?
Oh, I love that bass line.
Right?
Yeah. You know, what I like about he's not playing the whole time, he lays out a little bit.
Yeah. Ba-boom. It's ba-boom. The pauses, yeah.
Pause, boom. Yeah, you're like accenting. It's beautiful. Yeah. And then the run, the line.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that.
So while we're talking wedding music, what was the song you and your wife danced to?
Anita Baker, Love You to the Letter.
Oh, was our great song. Yeah.
Love You to the Letter, Anita Baker. Yep. And we got a chance to see her in concert prior to the wedding, too. So, yeah. What about yours? What about you?
Well, we got married during the pandemic, so there was no ceremony.
Oh, no.
So our first dance in that newlywed phase, the closest thing we've had is the night I proposed. The song that originally I was thinking I was going to use, the DJ didn't have. So I just went through their list to find something. And I chose Can't Take My Eyes Off You by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Oh, sure.
And it was perfect. And so now it's at the point that anytime I hear that horn at the beginning of that song, I get emotional every time. Like even thinking about it right now, I'm like, hold it together, man. But so it's great. And as a vinyl collector, I managed to find an album that's the first track on the album.
Oh, okay.
So anytime my wife and I are having time at home, I'll drop the needle and she'll come up the top of the steps and then she'll just look at me like, you were prepared. You
know? Yeah, that's so awesome.
I'm still romantic.
Oh, see, there you go. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, don't let the flame go out.
No.
You listen to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today, we're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist. Would love to hear from you. I want to hear about the spiritual benefits that the Eucharist has played in your life. We're going to talk all about that today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Now, if you're a Roku family, remember you can stream EWTN television and radio anytime, anywhere. That way, when you are at home, you can get together as a family, or maybe it's a date night. You can catch up on your favorite shows. Find out more about it at EWTN.com/Roku or simply on your Roku device, search EWTN.
Well, it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms, the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth, which you can find on the EWTN app or EWTNPodcastCentral.com or on Spotify or iTunes or one of those. So you can listen to these reflections every day. Well, today we're going to take a look at the second part of Psalm 143. So obviously that's in book 5. It's just a 7 psalms from the end. And this is a psalm of David. So we previously looked at the first 6 verses. And we want to start at the verse 7. Now the prescript, very simple, a psalm of David. Very simple. And again, this is very late in the book of Psalms. Remember, David is the only author of the Psalms that has a Psalms in all five books of the Psalms. Right? So David continues here in verse 7. O Lord, make haste and answer me, for my spirit fails within me. Do not hide your face from me, lest I become like those who go down into the grave. Right? Oh, ooh, David, I love that. So I think about this again. We're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist today. And particularly, as I read David here, thinking about Eucharistic adoration. We go before the Lord in that blessed sacrament, and we just pour our hearts out to him. Lord, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to deal with this, Lord? You know, Lord, I'm agonizing right now. Lord, I'm stressed right now. You know, what decision do I make here? You know, and so we're asking, do not hide your face from me. Because when we're in adoration, we're face to face with God. We're face to face with the Lord. And so he says, do not hide your face from me. And if, why? Because I become like those in the grave. Wow, that's a powerful image. You know, if you're not face to face with God, then you're in the grave. Right? And think about our culture. Those who don't spend the time looking and seeking that deep, intimate, personal relationship with God, you know, they're basically spiritually dead. You know, wow, powerful David. Continues in verse 8. In the morning, let me know your loving mercy. I think the previous translation said merciful love, but again, same. In the morning, let me know your loving mercy, for in you I place my trust. Make me know the way I should walk. To you I lift up my soul. Right? So again, a little bit of a parallelism here. He says, in the morning, let me know your loving mercy. Right? So again, this reminds me, first thing I do when I wake up every single morning, including this morning, hit the alarm button. First thing out of my mouth before I even make a move to get out of that bed. Lord, thank you for allowing me to see the light of another day so that I may give honor, praise, and glory to your most holy name. Right? So the first thing, I want my whole day to start being mindful of the Lord's presence, being mindful of his loving mercy working in my life every day. Right? And so starting off in him, I put my trust. Lord, I'm entrusting this whole day to you. This whole day to you. My heart to your heart, Lord. Right? Make me know the way I should walk. Why? To you, I lift up my soul. Right? And there's a song, right? To you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul, something like that. Yeah, so lifting up our souls to God. That's what music does, right? It elevates you. It lifts you, right? It takes you out of your current circumstance and brings you to a place, you know, where you have a memory. You know, like Ace was talking about, he gets emotional when he hears the opening horn part of a Frankie Valli song, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what music does. And again, these psalms were meant to be sung. So there's no question in my mind. Okay, well, first, it's a psalm of David. So David most likely did not pass this psalm off to one of the superintendents of the musical guild to put music to. He probably put the music to this psalm himself. And so as he's writing and as he's playing, right, the music is also helping him to lift his soul up to the Lord.
Yeah, and so much too, and that's why I love when, you know, current day artists take scripture or take the Psalms and apply it within the song so that you have some little bit of sing-songy melody, because we don't know what musical intentions David had, but we can create our own within our own heart, even if you're not musical. Like, the Psalms read like a song. It reads like a lyric. So, you know, the gone are the days of, you know, opening the records and, you know, reading every lyric, but we can do that with the Psalms and get that same encouragement and vibe from it.
Yeah, I used to love that, by the way, when you bought the album, you read the lyrics, like, oh, that's what they say.
Right.
Yeah, so you actually read instead of making it up.
After listening to it on the radio and singing it wrong.
Singing it wrong, exactly. Yep. David continues in verse 9, rescue me, O Lord, from my foes. To you I have fled for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. I love that line, right? I mean, because that's, you know, and it says that's been a kind of a key, what's called a hermeneutic, an interpretive key from my life, is always trying to do God's will, always striving to discover what God's will is in my life, trying to live his will out in its fullness, right? And that's what David says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit guide me. What good spirit? The Holy Spirit. Let your good spirit guide me upon ground that is level. I think the previous translation said, in ways that are level and smooth, right? So what does this remind you of? Isaiah, every mountain shall be filled in, every valley be laid low, winding ways made straight, rough roads made smooth, right? What makes this smooth? Walking the path with the Lord. Now, walking the path with the Lord is not always going to be easy, right? But the Lord will always lead us in the path of righteousness. He will always lead us down the road of truth and goodness and beauty. Why? Because we're guided by the Holy Spirit. We're cooperating with the grace that God is giving us in that beautiful spirit. And that grace allows us to recognize the power of God working in our lives. It gives us the courage to continue to move forward even when it's difficult. Right, Jesus, pick up your cross and follow me, right? Because he's leading us to life. Love that. And he continues in verse 11. Lord, save my life for the sake of your name. Right? Not save my life because, you know, my life is the greatest and look what kind of example I am to these people. No, save my life for the sake of your name. That's powerful. And that's exactly what God did in Jesus Christ. He sent his son to save us from the forces and the power of death, right? And so in doing that, he saved our life for the sake of his holy name so that God's promise can be shown forth in and through his people that he calls to be with him in covenant relationship. In your justice, lead my soul out of distress, right? Because God's God of justice, right? Now, sometimes we don't feel that when we see all the craziness going on in the world and we ask ourselves, God, why are you allowing this to happen? You know, or why is this happening to me right now in my life? And sometimes we question God, you know, but God ultimately is a God of justice, right? And the justice of God will eventually come to the fore. And if we continue to live in righteousness and, you know, if we continue to live in that right relationship with God, then God will lead us on the path to everlasting life.
Have you ever thought about, you know, in the same way that when things happen to us, it's because of either someone else's sin or our own sin, whatever it might be. But in the same vein that the things that we do that affect other people, they're asking the same questions. God, why is this happening to me? Well, it's because of my sin that's now bled onto you because I've not allowed myself to be changed to let that no longer be a factor in my life.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we have to work hard to break generational cycles mm-hmm. of sin, right? And yep. So the idea is, yes, the past helped shape me into the person I am today, yeah. But my past does not determine my future.
Amen.
Right? That's the key. But that's why I have to learn to let go. It's a God's merciful love that David's talking about here that allows us to let go of that mm-hmm. so we can find our full potential in God's love.
So true.
Right? And the last line here, verse 12, in your mercy, make an end of my foes. Destroy all those who oppress my soul, for I am your servant. Okay, strong language here about destroying, but what we're talking about here is destroying the forces of evil that are trying to take me away from your love, Lord, right? That's the way I read it. Why? For I am your servant. And for me, reading that, I am your deacon, right? We're talking about the fruits of Eucharistic adoration today, 833-288-3986.
I'm telling you, you need some kind of music like this for all your engagements. Like when you walk out, ladies and gentlemen, Tegan Arrow, Bert Zimmer. Yeah. Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
It does sound like that kind of music, doesn't it? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
On tonight's show, Deacon talks with. I can see
it. Yeah, it does sound like that, like a late night intro kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Funky, though. I love it.
I refuse to introduce you as Deacon. I won't do it.
That's good.
As Meatloaf says, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yeah, but I won't do that. There you go. All right. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Berg-Sibbers. And today we're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist. Would love to hear from you today. What are some of the spiritual benefits that you've received from our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist? Whether that's Eucharistic adoration, that's whether receiving the Eucharist when you were in the hospital, if you were sick, if you know, at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, maybe God hit you in a special way in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, during the consecration. Would love to. What are some of the fruits and the benefits of the Eucharist in your life? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love for you to join us. The phone number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. 3986.
Well, I love a good sports analogy, especially as it ties into our faith. Ron Meyer helping to bring some of those into play with Pressed to Play coming up Sunday afternoon, 4:30 Eastern on EWTN Radio. You can hear some great faith stories from athletes and sports professionals, but don't miss out on how that also applies to your life, whether you're on or off the field. Check that out again as well on demand at EWTN.com/podcast.
All right. Wonderful. And ask everyone to bear with me a little bit. I think I got a little bit of a cold. So if I sniffle or blow my nose or something like that, that's what's happening. I rarely get sick, though. You know, I mean, very rarely get sick. So this is, you know, travel as much as I do. It's, you know, it's comes with the territory, as they say. All right. The fruits of Eucharistic adoration. So, well, the first fruits of the Eucharist, but I want to talk about adoration. But I want to talk about really the first time that I experienced an interior kind of feeling or relationship with the Lord. I was about 9 years old, and I really enjoyed going to Mass. My mom, oh my goodness, faithful, took us to Mass religiously every week without fail. No question, no doubt. Every week she took us. And she noticed that when we went, unlike typical kids that get distracted during Mass, their attention spans aren't that long, or they, you know, they start, kind of messing around or eating Cheerios or something. She saw that I was laser focused on what was going on at the altar. And she, you know, she could see that. And so she put me at the end by the pew. And this, I still remember, this is Christ the King Catholic Church in Hillside, New Jersey. And then the school that I went to was right across the street, Christ the King Elementary School. And I remember sitting at the end of the pew and looking at the altar during Mass and seeing what was going on up there. Now, I didn't fully understand or appreciate what was going on, but I liked it. There was something, even at nine, that attracted me to what was going on there at the altar. You know, I can't remember exactly what it was the prayers or the consecration, but there was something there. And my mom saw that. So she encouraged me to become an altar server. And so I did. I did the classes. And boy, I tell you something, I took that serious. I took it deadly seriously. I did not smile. I did not laugh. I said, I'm up here with the priest. You know, I'm up here, you know, trying to honor the Lord, and I got to take this seriously. I mean, everybody used to come at my mom, boy, your son is serious up there. He never smiles or laughs. And, you know, I made sure I memorized every, you know, what the paten was, what the chalice was, what the corporal was, what the purificator was, you know, the pall. You know, I made sure I knew the names of everything. And boy, I just love being on the altar. So for me, experiencing Christ in the Mass as a youngster was my first kind of experience with the Lord. And the fruits from that are still so powerful in my life today. So what are some of the fruits of the Eucharist, whether Eucharistic adoration, the Mass, receiving the Eucharist, in the hospital? What are the benefits of the Eucharist? Well, I think the primary fruits are repentance and conversion, right? Repentance and conversion, which lead to what? An increase in love, right? An increase in love. The love of Christ that's alive in us, right? Through the Eucharist, the Lord stirs that flame, that fire in our hearts and in our lives, and brings us ever more deeply into His most sacred heart, right? Empowered and emboldened by the Holy Spirit as well, right? So some of the fruits of the Eucharist are repentance and conversion, right? That conversion, that metanoia or shub in Hebrew, that turning back to the Lord literally means to turn your mind around, you know, because now we have the power of Christ living with us. And the key is cooperating with the grace of the sacrament, right? Cooperating with the grace, that's the power. Another benefit of the Eucharist leads to greater reverence at Mass. Right, the more we honor and recognize the presence of our Lord in the Eucharist, the more reverent we will be at Mass, and the more reverent that the Mass will be, right? Because it fosters a deeper desire for personal holiness and a stronger sense of union with the Church, with our parishioners, and with the Church as a whole, right? So it leads to greater reverence at Mass, and ever since the early Church, the Church has always linked the Eucharist with service to the poor, right? Because we receive the Eucharist, we receive Jesus in word and in sacrament, right? We receive Him in His word that prepares our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and then receive Him again, body, blood, soul, divinity, and Eucharist. And then we fill with word and sacrament, we go out to be Eucharist to the world. And part of that is serving the poor, right? Not just the corporeally poor, the physically poor, but also the spiritually poor. Right, Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Right, so we have to help feed and nourish those who are, yes, physically impoverished, absolutely, but also spiritually impoverished as well. And the Eucharist gives us the strength to do that. Well, we're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Love to hear your story, your testimony, or how the Eucharist has the power of the Eucharistic Christ and His presence. What have those fruits been in your life? How has God used your experience of receiving Him or being before Him in the Eucharist? Caused you to go deeper into relationship with the Lord. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. One of the clear fruits of the Eucharist is increase in vocations to the priesthood, the diaconate, and religious life. There's no question about that. And the closer you are to the Eucharist, especially, for example, if you have Eucharistic adoration in your parish, especially perpetual. No, but having some Eucharistic adoration is better than having none. Okay? Some is better than none. So even if you don't have perpetual Eucharistic adoration, if you have some adoration in the parish, you will see the spiritual benefits of the parish. And one of the primary benefits you see is strengthening the vocations at the service of communion. Right? Holy orders, which leads to an increase in priestly vocations, but also vocations to diaconate and to religious life as a brother or a sister as well. And also stronger marriages, right? The stronger marriages. So the Eucharist helps to strengthen all of the sacraments, of course, but particularly the sacraments at the service of communion. So one of the things that we can do to strengthen the power of the gifts of the Eucharist in our own life is to go before Him in the Blessed Sacrament, which shows our gratitude, our love, and our adoration toward our Lord. Why is adoration so important? Because you could pray anywhere, right? You could pray anywhere, your car, your house, but it's always better to be in the presence of the person that you love when you're talking to them, right? That's what adoration is. That's what being in the presence of the Eucharist. That's what receiving the Eucharist and holy sacrifice of the Mass. We unite ourselves to the living God. It's always better to be in his presence when we are communicating with him, when we are sharing our lives with him, right? Just like last night on our date night, my wife and I had a great conversation, you know, talking about our marriage and talking about some things that we're working on, you know, looking forward to the future. And I mean, just all kinds of great stuff. And the same thing is with the Lord, right? That encounter with him in the Eucharist leads to a deeper conversation, deeper level of intimacy with the Lord. And that's what we're striving for in our lives, to be ever closer to the Lord. And the fruits and the benefits of the Eucharist strengthen us on our journey of faith, which of course ends ultimately with being in the presence of God forever in heaven, right? So the church desires, of course, that the faithful in large numbers take an active part in the sacrifice of the Mass and receive the nourishment of our Lord in Holy Communion. But remember, we have to be properly disposed. We have to be in a state of grace. So we cannot receive the Lord in a state of mortal sin, right? Where we're cut off from God's life. Because God can't do anything for us at that point. Because we're not open to receiving him. God's not going to force us to love him. Our hearts have to be open to receiving the Lord, to receive those benefits of the Eucharist in our lives. So that's why the sacrament of reconciliation should be made more widely available. Right? I think the more, it's like the Field of Dreams, right? You build it, they will come. Right? I think if parish is offered more times, not just Saturday before Mass, right, but offered more times, I think more people will come and then receive the spiritual benefits of the Eucharist. Because that's what we're talking about today, the fruits of the Eucharist. How has the Eucharist and the fruits of being before him adoration, being with the Lord in the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receiving him in communion, or receiving him outside of Mass, like in the hospital, how has that experience of the fruits of the Eucharist been a powerful benefit in your life? Would love to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Anna is calling from Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Anna, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I have a story about being in Eucharistic adoration. I was praying for an hour, and I was about ready to leave. And something told me to just sit there, and I pulled up a sheet of paper or cardboard that was in the hymnal area on the pew ahead of me. And the top of this said, "Tell God what you are happy about." It said 20 things to do before the Eucharistic, in Eucharistic adoration. And the only one that I saw was tell God what you are happy about. And I immediately said, "I am happy that I have surrendered to you." And I immediately heard his voice say back to me, "I will take care of you."
Wow.
After that, yeah, that's pretty cool. After that, I have really, my life with God has just exploded, and he's sending me out on mission now, and it's just been incredible.
Oh, Anna, that is awesome. You know, one thing I'm constantly telling people, Anna, is one of the keys to really becoming the person who God created you to be is listening to the voice of God and allowing that voice to change your life, right? And that's exactly what you just stated. You know, that's beautiful that you're going. So you talk mission. What do you mean by mission? What kinds of things are you doing?
Not able to say at this point in time.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. I'm with a spiritual director and working things through, so I'm not able to say it. But I do have another time that God had spoken to me, if you'd like to hear that.
Yeah, sure.
It was when I was going through an extremely difficult time with my family. And I was sitting up in my chair in my bedroom, and I was reading a book about what to do, you know, little things about what to do in front of the Eucharist. And the page that I turned to was about how God communicates with you. Mm-hmm. And what happened after that is that I said, you know, you're communicating with me so much, but what do you want me to do during the next phase of my life for you? And again, I heard his voice. Sit with the dying.
Mm.
Yeah, the next day I got on phone and I ended up being a hospice volunteer for 5 years. So without those directions, I never would have done that. Pretty cool.
Wow. Well, see, that's how you respond to the Lord calling you, right? That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Anna. And we also love to hear from you. We're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist today on Beacon of Truth. We'd love to hear your story of how the Eucharist has impacted your life, how the graces and the blessings of our Lord, present, body, blood, soul, divinity, the Eucharist, has changed your life, has moved you in a different direction, has emboldened and strengthened you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we're talking about today, the fruits of the Eucharist on Beacon of Truth. The phone number to call is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And you know, Anna was talking about hearing God's voice. And again, the fruits of the Eucharist. I received my call to the diaconate during Mass, where I also heard God's voice, like literally heard a voice. Now, that's the only time it's ever happened. Hasn't happened before. Hasn't happened since. And I think I may have shared this before, where you know, it was my first. Actually, I was in the parish less than a year in Portland, and it was during the Easter Vigil Mass and the Gloria. You know, when the light, you blow out the candles and lights come on and the bells are ringing. And during the Gloria, I heard a voice say, "Deacon," like, I mean, audible voice that was loud enough for me to hear over the singing. And I thought, my first thought was, how rude. Somebody just yelling out for somebody during Mass like that. Now, I was still new in the parish. I've been in the parish maybe 6 months. And I didn't know everybody in the parish yet. So I thought that there was someone in the parish named Deacon, like Deacon Jones, you know, because we had no deacons in the parish. And I was looking around, like, who said that? And who's this deacon person? And there was, I mean, people were completely oblivious. I'm like, oh, no, I couldn't be the only one that heard that. And my wife clearly didn't hear it. And everybody else was like, I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so I talked to Father Nicholas after Mass, and I asked him, I just simply said, who's deacon? Thinking he's going to, oh, you haven't met him yet. He's, you know, this person. And he looked at me and said, you'd be a great deacon. I'm like, wait, stop. What are you talking about? And that little conversation led to everything I'm doing today. That, again, encounter with Christ during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. You know, and again, I think that's one of the benefits of the fruits of my endless time in adoration, which I love. Right. So we're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist today. So what are some of those fruits? Well, that sustains the supernatural life, right? Just like regular food sustains us in our physical life, the Eucharist sustains and nurtures us in our supernatural life. Although there have been some saints like St. Catherine Emmerich, and others who have lived on the Eucharist alone with no other food, right? Obviously, that's rare. But the idea is that just like regular food nourishes our bodies and strengthens us, the Eucharist feeds our souls and strengthens us spiritually, right? What are some of the fruits of the Eucharist? The promise of bodily resurrection from the dead. Right? What does Jesus say in John chapter 6? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Not physical life, supernatural life, right? That promise of resurrection from the dead. It's the Eucharist that sustains us and nourishes us on that journey to heaven, right? On that journey to heaven, right? So the bodily resurrection from the dead. We're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist Day. Would love to hear how the Eucharist has affected your life. Some of the fruits and the benefits of either adoration or the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, or just how the Eucharist in general has emboldened and strengthened you on your journey of faith. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right. What are some of the fruits of the Eucharist? Remission of venial sin. All right. So, of course, mortal sin, right, which has to be grave matter that's done with full knowledge and deliberate consent of the will. Those are the three criteria for mortal sin. They have to be present and true at the same time. Any other sin that's not mortal sin is venial sin. Receiving worthily, receiving our Lord the Blessed Sacrament remits venial sin. Maybe some of you didn't know that. You know, of course, the confiteor does too, right? I confess to Almighty God, and then the embolism by the priest, but Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to heaven. That also remits venial sin, but also receiving Christ in the Eucharist, right? There's also a protection against future sins, right? Receiving the Eucharist helps protect us against future sins. Why? Because we're cooperating with the grace. We're saying, I want you to fill me, Lord, not sin, not lust, not inordinate desires, right? I want you, I want your love, your life to fill me. And the more we cooperate with that grace and allow God to fill us, that will protect us against sinning against him in the future. It's not a guarantee because we still have free will, but it strengthens our free will and our resolve. Again, if we cooperate, and our resolve to not sin again in the future, right? Which is one of the promises that we make in the sacrament of reconciliation, right? Awesome. Fruits of the Eucharist. It also curbs the urge of concupiscence, right? So concupiscence are those things that we desire over God, right? That concupiscence are those things that move us away from God, right? And so that's one of the things that, again, has to be taken care of either through indulgences on earth or purgatory at the end. But the desire to turn away from God becomes curbed the more intimate we are with the Lord in the Eucharist. We're talking about the fruits of the Eucharist today. Would love to hear from you on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Violetta is calling from Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Violetta, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon Harold.
Yeah, you're most welcome. What would you like to share with us today?
Yes, I wanted to share a little story about what happened to me when I was during my conversion. I was baptized Catholic, but my parents did not go to church. And so in my 30s, I experienced a really strong conversion. But this particular day, I went into the church, and as soon as I entered, I felt this overwhelming peace, and I saw the adoration was going on, and there were few adorers. There were very few adorers at the time, and so I came close to the front, and I knelt and experienced this again, joy and peace. And within like maybe 5 minutes or so, I felt in my heart audible voice, male voice saying, "You are my love." And that made a really strong impact on me as a person, as a Catholic, as a faithful believer, because there was no question whether or not God exists. Even up to that point, it was more blind faith, but yeah, it was just so beautiful. So beautiful. So.
Oh, that is awesome. What a beautiful story. I love when God speaks to people in adoration like that. He spoke to me. He spoke to you, Violetta. He spoke to Anna as well, the previous caller. You know, that's the thing. When you place yourself before him, your heart is open to hear. Now it may not be an audible voice, but it's an interior, often an interior voice where God is speaking to you. and you realize that, oh my goodness, that God is, I'm with him right now. He's real. He's in love with me, and that he's calling me to give everything to him, to hold nothing back of myself from him. That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for that beautiful call, Violetta. We also had Cody on YouTube. He's baptized and raised Catholic, came back to the church, did penance, prayed the rosary every day, and all started because his wife, who is not Catholic, called the Eucharist a cracker, and it was just cracker and juice. He was so shook that he started his journey on the way back. Wow, how awesome is that? All right. Well, tomorrow, we're going to talk with my good friend, Ken Hellenius, the Director of Communications for the D. Nicholas Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. And until we are together again, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.